Hello, everyone. This is Burt Middleton, the Gout Killer, and it is 12 o'clock straight up noon on Christmas Eve Day 2014, and I am here in Raton, New Mexico, which is where I was born. So I hope everybody out there is having a fantastic holiday already, and Merry Christmas. And today, I was just, on our topic, what I kind of put out there as our topic was, how do you prevent gout from happening? And I thought that that was going to be a pretty appropriate thing for us to talk about in this holiday time. This is the time when it seems like sort of like gout season. Everybody ends up getting gout way too often for all kinds of different reasons, including all of the different things that we eat. But there are so many different ideas and directions I can take the topic of preventing gout and gout prevention in general. But I had a specific thing in mind when I came up with this topic for this particular time of the year. And it has kind of like four parts. And very simply, the overarching concept of how do you prevent gout, and especially at this time of the year, it really has everything to do with awareness. And when I say awareness, I want to speak specifically about our awareness of what we're taking into our bodies. And so most of the time, that brings up visions, mental images of the things that we are eating. And that is certainly one part of it, and it's a very important part of it, and it's a very big part of it. But when we think of the nutrients that our bodies run on, food and the nutrients that we get out of the foods that we eat, are only part of it. And they're actually sort of like the third part of it. And there are two other things that are much more important to maintaining a human body and human life and keeping ourselves healthy and keeping ourselves gout-free. And so it goes in order of this. Food is the third most important thing. Water is the second most important thing. And air, more specifically oxygen, is the first most important thing. And this is the way I found myself saying it. Maybe some of you, if you've kind of checked out all my ranting and ravings and all my writings, I've talked about this quite often, but it kind of goes like this. We can live for 5 weeks without food, but we can only live 5 days without water, and we can only live about 5 minutes without oxygen. So thinking in terms of water being a really, really important nutrient, so important that 60% of our bodies are made out of water, makes water a pretty important thing, obviously. You can only go 5 days without it. But how well we breathe, and more specifically, how well oxygenated we keep our blood, has everything to do with how we maintain the kind of inner body condition that doesn't allow gout to happen or doesn't foster the right environment for gout to happen. So being very aware of how we're breathing, how much water we're drinking on a daily basis, and then, of course, what foods we are putting into our bodies. And when it comes to food, and that's where most everybody gets really kind of tripped up and preoccupied in thinking, what should I eat and what should I not eat? And all we've ever heard is we shouldn't eat organ meats or red meats, and we can't drink beer, and we shouldn't drink alcohol, and those are the things that cause gout. Well, as far as the foods that we eat, what is causing gout more in this day and age is all of the nutrient devoid, poorly, highly processed, poor nutrition foods that come from all the processed foods and the fast foods that we eat. So if we're eating all of those really good, nutrient-dense whole foods that have been properly prepared, like that Thanksgiving turkey and all the sweet potatoes and the cranberries and the mashed potatoes and gravy, and it's all made from scratch, made by loving hands, then we're probably moving in the direction of getting the kind of nutrients we need. And if we eat lots of vegetables and moderate portions of protein that come from fats, I mean, that come from meats, and some good fats that come from good cuts of meat and good butter and things like that, we're moving in the right direction of having the right kind of food in our bodies. So again, I don't want to make them go on and on and on and on, because I want to give everybody else a chance to comment and ask questions and really have a conversation about all of this. So just to recap, what my idea here is and what has worked well for me and what I've been able to help thousands of other people with is that we just need to maintain more awareness of the nutrition we're bringing into our bodies. And that nutrition starts with how well we breathe and how well we oxygenate, how much water we drink, and how well hydrated we keep ourselves, and the type and the quality of the foods that we eat. Are we eating nutrient-devoid foods, or are we eating nutrient-dense foods? So I hope that is helpful. And right now, I would like to just open up the call to see who all is out there and what everybody else has to say. What's been working for you? What do you find challenging? How can I help you? Or what do you want to add to the conversation that would be helpful to others? So who's out there?
Hello?
I know there's... Yeah.
Hello?
Who's that?
This is Joe
Hello?
Milano. This is Joe.
Hey there, Joe.
Who's this?
This is Bert. Bert, the gout killer.
The number one man killing gout these days?
Exactly.
Good. I enjoy your videos and all of what you're doing.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Thank you for saying so.
You're welcome. You know, I was at a, I agree with you. You know, the breathing, the water, the nutrients. I got all that. My biggest question is, you know, how do you know it's working? You know, how do you know that you're gout free? How do you know that you're moving in that direction? I mean, there's no indicator on my toe or on my foot. You know, how do I know that? If I do all the steps, how do I know I'm going in that direction?
Well, there are a number of different ways and a number of different ideas that brings to mind in terms of how we can sort of like measure. How do we get a quantitative way of really understanding, am I doing the right thing? And first and foremost, what we sort of all have to keep in mind is that we are all very biochemically individual. And so what your indications might be may be very different and unique to you than they are for somebody else. But here, as being a nutritionist in general, here's my sort of like, way of knowing when I'm helping people. And oftentimes I ask people, especially when we first get started on like a nutritional therapy kind of a thing, is that I ask them, at what point in your life did you feel best? And so, and I always leave it like that because a lot of people want to think in terms of how am I feeling, when did I feel best physically? And that's not necessarily always what I mean. It's like at what point in your life were you feeling best emotionally, mentally? When were you happiest? Because our body chemistry is also our brain chemistry, and oftentimes when we are doing well, when we're feeling happy, when we're feeling optimistic, when things are going well, when things are going well in our life, so that we are feeling optimistic. That's the best word I can use right now. That usually indicates some sort of an absence of pain. on a physical level. I mean, as I'm sure you've noticed, Joe, when you're having a gout attack and you're in that much pain, it's like just having the mental capacity to work, to be in a good mood, to be able to relate to other people well, to be able to function well inside of your business in terms of how you relate to your customers, your bosses, or your business partners, or your coworkers, and that kind of thing. Go ahead.
My thing is, I hear what you're saying, because emotionally it definitely can trigger, you know, if you're not doing well, things tend to slide down the mountain pretty quickly. I'm not experienced that piece of it, because my businesses are doing well. I'm very active with my athletes. I train athletes. I'm 50 years old. I'm still very, very active. I'm outperforming a lot of young teenagers. So I've still got that going. I'm not, you know, mentally I'm good, very very stable mentally. You know, going back maybe 3 or 4 years, my diet really hasn't changed. You know, I eat well. I cook my own, you know, I cook. We don't eat a lot of processed food. You know, I think, I don't know if this is going to bring it on, but, you know, I started getting into barbecuing and doing a lot of slow, you know, cooking. And, you know, I was doing that, you know, not a lot, but, you know, maybe once every other weekend or maybe every twice a month. But I can feel it. I mean, I can feel when I'm eating certain food, within 6 or 7 hours, I can feel it coming on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how does that play out? When you say you can feel it coming on, what is it that you're feeling?
My both feet are like there's tingling going on. There's all sorts of activity going on in my feet. I can feel it. You know, there's things moving. You know, I can feel it going on. You know, I just. Like last Saturday, I had cioppino, which is a seafood stew, and you know that was Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, my right foot was on fire. I mean, from my toe, the big toe, all the way through the arch, it was just on fire, and it's just starting to settle down now. Just starting to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You know, and I'm also on allopurinol.
Okay.
So I'm taking that medication to kind of control it a little bit. But, you know, I notice when I completely devoid myself from meat, I'm eating very low on the chain, you know, then, of course, things don't, you know, things aren't kicking in. But as soon as I touch anything red, I'm done. Chicken, not so much. Turkey, not so much. But I hit anything red, and I'm done. But the seafood did it, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's
Christmas Eve. I'm going to my parents' house where there's all seafood tonight. And that's going to be
interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So, let me ask you
a couple of questions. So when did you start on the allopurinol?
Probably, I've been taking it on and off for about maybe a year.
Okay. Are you on any other prescription drugs?
No.
Okay. So, you've been on and off allopurinol for about a year. What is the dosage that you're using?
I think it's 300 milligrams.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so when you got started on it a year ago, your MD had some reason to prescribe it. How did they get some reason or indication that allopurinol was the way to go?
Well, it was my uric acid level was like 10.7.
Okay.
Which was high.
Okay. And they tested your kidney function.
Yep.
And your kidneys were working fine, right?
Yeah, they're fine. You know, all that function is just the uric acid. You know, I know that my body's definitely changing, changing. You know, foods that I eat that I normally usually eat, you know, back when I was 30, 40, you know, no problems. Eat it, no problems. No acid reflux, no gas, no bloating. Now it's totally different.
So now there is acid reflux, there is bloating, there's gas, you're not digesting your foods as well as you once did, is what it sounds like.
No. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
Okay. Well, this is really, there. I have so much to say. I have so much I think I can put out there for you. And really importantly, my goal with everybody is to help you be your doctor's best patient. You know, it's kind of like I'm not licensed to diagnose, treat, or prescribe or anything like that. But in terms of, like, what's going on in your body, I am trained as a nutritionist to help you. And something that I think gets overlooked by everybody, and I think it's a very important thing that I bring to the table here, is that gout is happening for two reasons. And first of all, it starts with digestion. And if you are not digesting well, and if you are getting some kind of reflux, that is a big indication of hypochlorhydria. You are not making enough stomach acid, enough hydrochloric acid to break down the foods correctly. And that's the start of gout, because the one thing you're not breaking down and processing well and getting absorbed and assimilated correctly is your proteins,
right,
which is where all the purines are, which is where the uric acid comes from.
Right.
And something you may know this, and something that I always like to make sure is pointed out to everybody, is that our bodies make uric acid, and it uses uric acid. Uric acid is a very important and vital antioxidant in our blood. It's just when it becomes excessive, it becomes a problem. You know, when it stays in solution in our blood like it's supposed to, it protects the inside of our cardiovascular system. But so there's a digestive issue going on, and later on, that creates a problem for the kidneys. And while there were, you know, you could eat steak and lobster and drink three or four beers and not get a gout attack, now it is just a recipe for disaster. It is more or less that your kidney function is slowly diminishing. You know, I don't know about you, but over the years, I could eat steak and lobster and nothing would happen. Then one time I did, and I got a gout attack, and then I tempted fate again the next time, and nothing happened every time I did it. And then all of a sudden it did it again, and now I'd be like, you know, that's probably not a good idea. Of course, I only have one kidney, too, so that's a whole different story. But our kidneys are the organ that regulate from moment to moment how much uric acid to hold on to and how much uric acid to let go of. And so, you know, it's always interesting to me because they always say, oh, your kidneys are working great, but I don't know why you've got, you know, uric acid at 10.7 milligrams per deciliter. You know, it's kind of like, you know, obviously the kidneys, you didn't test another piece or part of how the kidneys work. Otherwise, that wouldn't be happening.
Okay.
So the other thing, and then I'll kind of shut up here a little bit, but the other thing is that is important that should have been really reiterated over and over and over again by your MD is that the way that allopurinol works in the body, it requires that you use it religiously, take it every single day because it works on kind of like a cumulative effect. And every time you kind of start and stop it and start and stop it, allopurinol is known to create gout attacks when you first start using it. So my recommendation is, go ahead.
For the last, I want to say 6 months, I've been very religious with it.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Very religious with it. But like I said, you know, getting to Saturday last week, still on allopurinol, still doing the same thing. It just took it over and just like killed me.
Right. Well, and so
was,
that
go ahead. No, go ahead. So what I was saying is, you know, I hear you. The religious part of it was there was a little stoppage in it when I changed MDs. I actually fired my doctor.
Okay.
And I said, you're not helping me. I need to go someplace else. And he didn't like that. I said, tough shit. You know.
Yep.
you're no different than my mechanic. You can't help my car, I got to go someplace else. You can't help my body, I'm going someplace else. And so I went someplace else. So it's very interesting to say something about the kidneys and the digestive thing, because I definitely have that problem. Definitely, it's the digestive thing is not happening because it doesn't make any sense. And I always had a suspicion of I'm lacking something because it just doesn't seem right that I should be this, you know, something's off. Something's not clicking here. I'm not tuned. But is that, let me ask you a question, is that just due to age?
Not at all.
Okay,
it is a matter of your own very, again, very individual biochemistry, and just over the years, and depending on what you've been exposed to, both in the way of food, your environment, you know, what's going on in your world in regard to stress and stress management and all of that kind of thing, a million different factors. It changes your body chemistry. And so at one point you may have been completely sufficient and balanced in several different areas of nutrients like fatty acids and minerals, or your blood sugar regulation has been really good, and then and now it's different for some reason. And so you are just out of balance in some ways, deficient maybe in other nutrients, and it's just a matter of figuring out what those are and then using food and or supplementation to bring you back into balance and then maintain that. That's the kind of thing that I do as a nutritionist. That's the kind of thing you could work with a local nutritionist with. I mean, or you could work, just as an example, you could work with me remotely. I mean, that's what I do. I work with people all over the world to help them understand all of this and get back in balance and get back into sufficiency.
I was back in 2011, I want to say, when things, the economy wasn't good. You know, I got hooked into the Trump network, which started selling this company called Ideal Health.
Yeah,
and
I saw
it was
them.
Weight reduction. I don't know if you heard of it or probably haven't.
I have.
Ideal Health.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Trump network and all that. Yeah.
What's that?
The Trump network. I've heard of it all. Sure.
Yeah. So I got into that. I started becoming product of the product, and I lost 60 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, big. It was big. I was 250. I'm 6'1", and I was a fat bastard. And and I lost this weight, and I have never ever felt so good. I felt like I was 17 again. It was just, I would go to bed relaxed. I would get up energized, and the energy this thing gave me from 6:30 to 5-6 o'clock was amazing. No crashing, no highs, no lows, and then go down nicely, get back. It was the best. No gout attack, nothing. The food was cleaned up. It was all great. Very expensive though.
Okay.
So then I did a little research beyond that, and I had a gallbladder attack. And what I found out was when you lose weight rapidly, you're prone to gallbladder attacks.
Okay.
And other men have told me this, and they've also had rapid weight loss and gallbladder removal, like myself. So I'm working on.
So you don't have a gallbladder right now.
That's correct.
Aha, that's a big deal.
Yes, well,
that's a really big deal.
It was back then too.
Yes. Okay.
So I've asked my doctors. I said, does this taking out the gallbladder have anything to do with my gout? Nope. I said, okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, that's okay. Because I never had this situation prior to. You know, I didn't have gout attacks when I had my little middle management person in me.
Yes. You know, the idea that the gallbladder is just sort of like this extra thing, let's just rip it out and throw it over our shoulder, is nonsense.
Yeah, well.
So there is... There are some important things that you could be taking advantage of supplementally. And there are a number of different things that you need. First of all, the liver makes bile. You need to have high-quality bile. It needs to be very thin, runny, and viscous so that by the gallbladder, it gets injected into the top of the small intestine when food is then present to break down the fats. If the fats are not being broken down correctly, then just as an example, the starting point of it all is, you know, every cell in our body is made out of, the cell membrane is made out of phospholipids. Every cell in our bodies are made out of fat. And how the quality of our fats and how well those fats are broken down, which has everything to do with bile, which is what bile is all about, depends on how healthy your cells are going to be, how things are going to get in and out of the cells, how the cells are going to communicate with each other, and it just all starts there. You could go on and on and on. So the gallbladder issue is very big.
So...
Am
I doomed, Bert? Am I doomed?
No, you're not doomed. You're not doomed at all. For one thing, you were on the Trump Network, the Ideal Supplements, and as I remember, you know, someone approached me about that at one point, and I really liked the idea for the very specific reason that they had some kind of, I don't think it was very fully in-depth, but it certainly was a method of trying to get a better understanding of where you were sufficient and where you were deficient, and then they tailored your supplemental regimen around your biochemistry, around your individual biochemistry. Isn't that right?
Right. That was the essentials. That was the essential vitamins that they had. So you did a urine test. They tested the whole thing, and then they, based on what you need, they would send you the supplements. That would be correct. But that was a part of their business. The other part was the food, was actually the food. So you would get up in the morning, have, you know, their breakfast, and you would have this drink. They had three drinks in the green, yellow, and red, right? So you'd have these drinks, these bio drinks, and it would continue to supplement you throughout the whole entire day. You ate five times a day. So you would have two of their meals, you would have all of their snacks, and then you would have your own meal at dinner time.
Okay.
And it worked.
And,
I mean, it worked amazingly. Wow.
Okay. And so in relationship to all of that, what was their viewpoint and their inclusion of good, healthy fats in the diet?
They said, what they were saying was this: you can have your fat, right? You could have like a, you know, if you want to have ice cream or if you want to have something like that, but you could have it. But it could only be like one day a week you could have that.
Interesting.
Right? And the rest of it, you would come off of that, and then you would, you know, continue to eat their food. What they did was they taught me how to eat. That's what the whole thing about the whole process was, you know, teaching you how to eat. You know, that's how
okay.
the metabolism and all that wonderful stuff. So I got that part, and it, and for the most part, I've done very well with that. I've done, you know, very well with understanding what I'm throwing on my metabolism and what I'm doing to my body. For the most part, for the most part, I'm not saying I'm a genius at it. I mean, here I am talking to you about gout. So,
okay.
So as far as, you know, the fat thing, they really didn't tell you, you know, what not, you know, they told you what to stay away from, obviously, but they didn't say, you know, eat this type of fat. They did talk about, like, guacamole was great for you, or certain nuts were good for you and things like that. But they didn't really, they really focus on other food. They were focused on their food.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, when they were selling their food.
And so you did well with it, lost 60 pounds, but then you had a gallbladder attack and went through all of that. And so where are you at with your involvement with the company and their foods and their supplementation?
Away. Yeah, it didn't last more than a year for me. The company folded. Yeah.
It all went
away.
Okay.
Because it was the wrong time of the, it was the wrong time to launch it. They launched it in economic disaster bill, and you're asking somebody to spend a lot of money on this food, and it was a lot of money, but it was effective. But the market couldn't support it, so they folded.
Huh. Okay. Well, you know, here's for one thing. I hope everybody and anybody else who's on the call, if you want to jump in, I mean, I hope that everybody else is finding this valuable, because I think it is probably valuable to a lot of people. But if there's anybody else out there that, you know, wants to jump in and add their two cents, please just jump in. this is very valuable, Joe, to you, I know, and to me, and I think to a lot of other people. But relatively speaking, the whole idea of what our bodies are made out of, the macronutrients our bodies are made out of, and there being four of them, and them being carbohydrates and proteins and fats, we really need fats, and the liver and bile production and function and the gallbladder depend on good, healthy fats in the diet. And our bodies are mostly made out of water. But that whole component of, if you are not eating healthy fats, then it disrupts healthy bile production and healthy bile in the first place. And that is kind of an indication to me that that was missing in your diet. You know, whether or not that's true or not, you know, it's just one sort of like opinion that of something that could have happened there. But we all need to be getting a good balance of fats throughout our everyday diet, and it needs to come from several sources, and it needs to come from the several different groups of fats, being they saturated fat, monounsaturated fat, polyunsaturated fats. And they come from different good sources, the best being butter from pasture-fed cows. Another one is coconut oil. The other one, a monounsaturated fat, is olive oil. And then the polyunsaturated fats are flax oils. And those are the kind of things that I work with people a lot on, because our ability to healthfully inflame when there is a problem in the body, and to healthfully anti-inflame, is completely dependent on the good quality fats that we eat on a daily basis. Now, without a gallbladder, there is something special that you have to do, and you know, you could Google this, and you will find that when you don't have a gallbladder, you can utilize bile salts. And there are different companies that have all kinds of different products for helping people when a gallbladder has been removed. The sad part about it is fixing the gallbladder and not having to have it removed is something that's easily fixed with nutritional therapy. So, I mean, that's kind of the direction I go with all of that. There are plenty of things you can do, and you're probably going to make a lot of improvements, and it's probably going to move your inner biochemistry in a direction where gout is no longer a problem, and eventually it's very likely that you could wean yourself off of allopurinol.
So you're saying with bile salts?
Bile salts.
Bile salts.
Bile
really?
Salts, like B-I-L-E. Yeah. Bile salts.
Oh, bile.
Yeah.
Okay. Bile
yeah.
salt. Oh, how wonderful do they taste?
Well, you know, it comes in a supplement form, and you end up taking them usually in conjunction with your meals, so it kind of gets broken down and absorbed. And you know, the other thing that I really work on with people on is improving digestion and getting things to be properly broken down, especially those proteins. And so that the fats and the proteins, when they're broken down and used correctly, the acid reflux is going to go away, the gas is going to go away, the bloating is going to go away. And there are certain food groups. You know, the one natural food, the one thing you can do a lot with, just with the food itself, that helps with bile production and quality is beets. Beets are just like an incredibly nutrient-dense food that have everything to do with gallbladder function.
How do you eat it though? Is it out of a can? Do you cook them, or what do you do? How do you prepare them?
So, just as an example, you know what we're going to be making this evening as part of our Christmas Eve dinner, you know, and then I'm probably going to have to run here. I've got a 1 o'clock appointment here. The beets, there are several different things that you can do with beets. One of them that we're going to do today is we roast them, you know, potatoes, beets, sweet potatoes, turnips, all done with garlic and onions and all kind of roasted like that is a good way to do beets. The other thing you can do with beets is you can shave certain, you can just kind of like grate them and put them on a salad so that they're raw. You put a little bit of beet into different smoothies. And so those raw beets are really, really powerful. It only takes a little bit. Something that is from old times is something called beet kvass, and it's spelled K-V-A-S-S, beet kvass. And it's a lightly fermented product that you kind of ferment and pull the active ingredient out of beets, and it produces this liquid. And so you drink 2 to 4 ounces of this liquid a few times a day, and that is really helpful for digestion, but very specifically for bile function and gallbladder health. And so there are all kinds of different ways you can use beets. And the supplementation that you would get the one that I'm familiar with, the one professional line of supplements I use is called Biotics Research, and they have a product called Beta TCP, and you can get it either with or without bile salts, and the basic active ingredient. Go ahead.
What was it? How do you spell it?
The product, the company is Biotics, B-I-O-T-I-C-S.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Uh-huh. And the specific product is called Beta TCP, as in Tom, Cat, Polly, or Paul.
I got it. Beta TCP
yeah.
Biotics. I got it. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And you can find those on Amazon, no problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But those products, that supplementation takes the active ingredients out of the beets, which is actually vitamin B15 or betaine. And it's very specifically very helpful to gallbladder.
I want to let you go because I know you got to go to your family. But what mm-hmm. my question is it better to eat the beet raw or to prepare it?
Generally speaking, I don't think that it really matters. I think that what would be a wiser thing is to eat it sometimes raw, like in a smoothie or on a salad, and then sometimes roasted, and then sometimes in the beet kvass, you know, in different forms. It kind of changes at a chemical level.
Okay, and if in the bile salts, how long does it take the body to say, oh, okay, this is cool, I can mix you in and we can kind of retune the body and we kind of get away from what we're dealing with today?
Relatively speaking, again, it's another one of those bio-individuality questions, but I would not expect that you're going to see or feel a tremendous amount of change within a week, but I would say after 3 weeks to 6 weeks of consistent use, there will be changes. There will be obvious things that will be helping you.
I am so glad I had this gout attack. Because I wouldn't have called you. And I would have said, that's okay, Bert. I don't need to jump online with you. But I'm glad I made pain for myself. As crazy as this may sound. But well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This has been one of the best Christmas gifts I've gotten all year. So thank you very,
awesome.
Very much.
You're certainly welcome. That makes my day.
Yeah. Well, let me do some Frankenstein experimenting over here,
mm-hmm.
And I will call you soon. Because it does sound like you know what the heck you're doing, versus these MDs that really don't know anything about nutrition.
So. You know, MDs know a lot about. You know, if you got in a car wreck and you were all mangled up, you would be just you would be very appreciative and happy to be seeing an MD, but yeah, their training is in pharmaceutical drugs and Western medicine, and you know, mine is in nutrition. So
they are reactive; they're not proactive. That's
correct.
That's the biggest problem, and I have a problem with that. So
mm-hmm.
I will.
I agree.
Good. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And anyone else, if there's still anyone else on the call, if anybody has anything else they want to add, please just jump right in. I'm thinking that whoever is on the call is just here to listen in. But if you're there and you have something to say, please let me know.
Hey, Bert. And Rob from Mobile.
Hey there, Rob.
Hey, I don't have much to add. I just wanted to tell Joe good luck with his deal there. I think he's on the right track talking to you. And Merry Christmas to everybody.
Oh, man, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to you, too. Yeah, and thanks for the kind words. You know, it just makes my day to be able to do this and be able to help people. So very good. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, anybody else? I'm still kind of just holding out for anybody else has anything to say, and otherwise kind of going once, going twice, and thank you all for being on the call, and Merry Christmas, and I will be doing another call. It won't be on Thursday next week, which is New Year's Day, but it will be at the same time, Mountain Standard Time, at noon on Wednesday, the 30th or the 31st. So look forward to talking to everybody then. Then the following Thursday, we'll have the phone call usually on the same time, Mountain Standard Time, noon on Thursday, and there will be a Google Hangout, Mountain Standard Time, at 2 o'clock, and I don't have it in front of me, and I forgot what my topic is going to be, so I apologize about that. But also, if you're in the Denver area, I am doing another gout-specific seminar on at the Vitamin Cottage or Natural Grocers at the corner of Colorado and Evans, and that will be at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 25th. 1 p.m. being usually an hour before the Broncos game starts. There's going to be one that day. I don't even know if there is or not. But please join me. I think I worded it what the topic is going to be, how to stop a gout attack. We'll be going through all of that and giving you some good ideas of things that you can use that you can actually get in Vitamin Cottage right there, right then and there. So, again, Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you all for being here today, and I will talk to you soon. Bye now.